So last week, I taught on hearing God's voice, and I'm going to continue that series today. We have a little one. What's she doing? She's got a little sign on her head. It's her daycare sticker. She looks so cute. Anyway, so one of the most, you know, Jesus says that, you know, my sheep hear my voice, right? And so we are designed to hear his voice. And I talked last week about, you know, he doesn't say his lambs hear his voice. So when we're lambs, we're growing to learn how to hear his voice. But we are designed to hear the voice of God. It's not for a few special people. It's not for a few anointed people. We're all sheep and we're all called to hear his voice. And so I talked about the fact that, you know, we're created to hear him. I was thinking about, you know, a child growing in a mother's womb. They say when the child is born that it will recognize the mother's voice and it will recognize the father's voice when it's born. How much more the God who created us, we should hear his voice, right? Because we were designed for that. So I talked about how, you know, it's almost like God's, we come into the world, we're designed to hear his voice, we come into the world, but the world's kind of like on an AM station. And we get tuned into the AM station, but God's kind of on the FM station. And so our journey in learning to hear his voice is just learning how to tune into the FM station of God. And we do that certainly through his word, we do it through worship, we do it with praying in the spirit. Those are all different ways that we can tune into his voice. You know, Jesus, and we don't have to go there in the scriptures, but in John chapter 5, I talked about how Jesus confronted the religious people, and they were, because they didn't recognize him. And he said, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. And what was he saying? He was saying these people had memorized the scriptures, right? Because he says, you don't have the scripture abiding in you. Well, they had memorized the scripture, but it wasn't abiding in them. Right? So it's not about knowing the scriptures and being able to say the verses and the addresses. It's about, do we have abiding? Do we have a relationship with the living word of God? That's what, and so here the God of the universe is standing in front of them and they can't even recognize him even though they have all this head knowledge. And so it's so important for us to be able, that the word abides in us, not that we just know the word and can, like I talk about, you can give the right answer, but is it real to you? Is it revelation to you? So we talked about that. I talked about going through the word, and when you read scripture, when you sit down in your secret place, in your time with the Lord, to read scripture and read a verse and wait. Ask the Lord, what do you want to show me about that scripture? Excuse me. We can hear his voice, so he'll speak to us through the word, and so we can, as we go through the scripture, ask him questions. The Lord spoke to me one time and said, you know, until a person asks the question, they won't hear the answer. Right? Because when you ask the question, it puts you in a position to receive. And so there's answers he's giving us, but we haven't asked the question to open ourselves up to the answer that he has. And so asking him questions about the word, or what are you trying to communicate to me, he loves that because it opens us up to be able to receive. You know, I talked about using the concordance. Some of you gotten in touch with me about the Strong's Concordance and the Vine's Expository Dictionary, and being able to, when you sit down with scripture, I gave a couple of examples of how, you know, what the word means to us in English, but when you open it up in the concordance and the Vine's and all that, you can see so much richer what is trying to be communicated to you and how important that is for us to take to look and see what the meaning of words are. And then we talked about the benefits of meditating on the scripture, and that meditation isn't just sitting and thinking. It's pondering scripture, it's imagining scripture, and meditation also means to mutter. So it also means speaking out loud, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? And so part of our senses is physically hearing. And I shared that one revelation that actually Barry Bennett had that I thought was so good, that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, but it's, how do you know if you've heard the word of God? You'll have faith. I thought that was so good, that if you've really, in other words, it's like you can know the scripture, but when God breathes on it to you, when he speaks it to you, that's when faith is birthed. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's when he personally speaks it to you, when he reveals it to you, when it opens up, when it unpacks itself in front of you, that's when faith is born, because it becomes real to us, right? So we talked about that. So today, I want to talk about a couple of different things, and I just wanted to say I really feel strongly that the Lord is preparing us for next year. And in one of the things, and that's part of why I feel like he wants us to talk about really being with him and listening to him, because I feel as we come into 2020, when I look at the different books and studies the Lord is bringing to us, he's really going to be talking to us about the prophetic, how to operate in the prophetic, right? Everybody, we all, as born-again, spirit-filled believers, have the ability to prophesy. And so he wants to really ground us in, we've spent a lot of time learning on who we are in Christ and establishing that foundation as children of God, righteous and holy before him, because that's what he's created us to be through the sacrifice of his son. But then we're commissioned to take that out into the world. And that's part of operating in the prophetic. And so I believe that's where God's taking us. But we need to be able to hear him well for ourselves before he can hear well for anybody else, right? So that's the journey that he has us on. So first of all, why do we want to invest time with God? And I've used the word invest very specifically, because a lot, and I do this all the time too, we spend time with God, but spending is a consumer mentality. Investing is really a better way of thinking about the time the secret place time we have of God. It's not spending, it's investing, right? Jesus said we're supposed to go to the secret place. He went to the secret place. When we go and have that time apart, our own personal relationship with the Lord, we are investing time in that relationship, right? And that relationship, when we do that, it will bear fruit in our lives. That's right. That's how, you know, we'll know them by their fruits. This investment of time that we have with the Lord is where he transforms us, he shifts things in us, and we become more and more aware of his presence. And so I'm really in my mind trying to switch my language to say, I'm not going to spend time with the Lord, I'm going to invest time with the Lord, because it's a different mentality. And why do we want that? Well, you know, we can do it because we know it's the right thing to do. But I know that, like Eric Gilmore talks about how discipline eventually will become desire, right? And so if we discipline ourselves to spend time with him, if we need to start that way, that's not a bad way to start, because you're supposed to. But hopefully what will happen is that will transition to a place where it becomes your desire, because you see the fruit of investing time with him. And so we can start from that place, but hopefully, like I said, it develops to a place I'm investing time with him because I want to get to know him better, because he's my father, and he knew me before I was formed in my mother's womb. I was his before I was ever anybody else's. Before I was given to my parents, I was given to him. Is there a problem? I'm cutting out. So before I was his, before I was anybody else's. And so he's the one who knows me. He's the one who knows my destiny, my purpose, my calling, my giftings. He knows every little centimeter of me, every cell of me. And so why wouldn't I want to be with the person who knows me best and is the one who really is the only one who has a right to define who I am, right? He's the only one who has that right. The other thing is that, you know, we can... People have said, well, you know, Jesus gave everything for you, so the least you can do is invest time with him. Well, yeah, I get that, but I think a better way of thinking about it is he gave everything for me, and I need to find out why. You know what I'm saying? Like, what did he see was so valuable in me that he was willing to go to the cross and die for me? Like, there must be something valuable that wasn't taught to me. And so I'm not here because I'm obligated because you died on a cross for me. I'm here because you died on a cross for me, and I need to know why I was so valuable to you that you were willing to do that for me. Right? And that will unpack so much more than I'm here because I owe you something. We don't owe him anything. He doesn't want us to come to him out of owing or obligation. He wants us to come because he wants us to see how valuable we are, and how so he can impart to us the truth of who we are. So So how do you find time to be alone with God? And this is where I'm going to talk about priorities. Like the Lord spoke to Giselle and said, you'll find time for whatever it is, whatever's important to you. Sorry, I'm going to step on a few toes today. But the truth is that when we live our lives, we are finding time for those things that are important to us. And God would never set our lives up in a way that we wouldn't have the ability to be with him. And he would never set a schedule up for you that doesn't allow that, that there's always a way. I know when I was, you know, working out in the world, I would get up early in the morning. And this is just my way. Like, everybody has to find their own way. But I would get up in the early in the morning to invest some time with the Lord. And then even when I went to work, other people would go to the break room to eat. Well, I didn't go to the break room to eat. I didn't want to sit around the break table and talk about the latest gossip. Like, I would go get in my car. I would drive to the side street in the neighborhood. I would eat my lunch. I would read the Word. I would read a book. And then I would go for a walk, you know, because I was going to set myself apart and spend and invest time with the Lord, right? So even if it's a lunch hour, I know I was listening to a testimony of Eric Gilmore, and he was saying that he worked at Taco Bell, and they used to give the smokers 15-minute breaks to smoke a cigarette. So he told them, he didn't smoke, but he told them he needed a smoker's break to go outside. I don't know if you're supposed to lie, but he said he needed a smoker's break to go out, and he would take that 15 minutes to just worship the Lord and just get his mind back on the Lord and invest time in him. So we need to know, I mean, really, it's the most important thing that we do every day. The most important thing that we do is to invest time in our relationship with the Lord. So I can even remember when I was out at Karis Bible College in Colorado, you know, Randy and I worked 40-hour work weeks, and plus we were at school 20 hours a week. And we would get up in the morning, we'd both get up early to invest time with the Lord, and we would eat our breakfast, pack our lunch, and pack our dinner. Because we wouldn't get home till 10 o'clock at night. So we'd eat our breakfast, we'd cook our lunch, cook our dinner, pack it all up, and we'd go off to work and school. We'd go to school first, and then a lot of times we work on the weekends, and people go, oh, let's get together, let's have a party, let's do this on the weekends. I was like, this is my time. Like, I've been like 60 hours this week at Bible college. And unfortunately, in your Bible college, you don't get all the time with the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're studying and you're taking classes, but it's not that quality time. And so people would be going off to parties and I would just stay in the house all by myself. Randy would go to work. I'd lock the door and I would just sit there with my Bible and read and study. And it was a beautiful time, right? Because it was just important to me. So I just say that to say that, you know, and I'm going to talk next about distractions, but there's so many things in the world that vies for our attention, and we have to begin to live very, very, very intentionally. We really, you know, I've learned that there's only so many hours in a day, only so many days in a week, and so many weeks in a year. And we need to live intentionally. You know, in Psalm 4:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And that's the other thing I wanted to stress, because people will say, well, you know, I don't have a lot of time to sit quietly with the Lord, so my time is when I go walk with him out in the woods or take a walk around my neighborhood or drive in my car. And all those things, certainly the Lord, we can speak to us when we're doing those things. But there also needs to be a time when you are not, you know, people say, well, I'm just still inside. Well, we need to physically shut things down. There needs to be a time that you're just sitting still. And you get your body to stop doing, and you get your mind to shut down, and just be with him. And be still. And know, that no is an experiential no. It's not a head knowledge no. It's a come sit, be still, and experience my presence, my love for you, my grace for you, my heart towards you. Sit and be still. And that transforms us more than anything else is his presence, when we can sit still and experience him. He's a God that wants us to experience him. So we come to a place of really valuing, deciding that this is an important thing in my life, and are we going to set a time aside about it? If you're somebody who's challenged by this, I would just say you can ask the Lord to change your heart. Because he can change your heart. I'm going to use Amy as an example. My daughter, Amy, our daughter, she would say to me, we had our children, raising our children, Amy and her brother Jordan both did not like to read. Like, you couldn't get them to read a magazine. You could not get them to read anything. Our other son, Grant, loved it, but they had wanted nothing to do with reading. So when she got born again and came to the Lord, I would say to her, well, read your Bible. Read this book. Mom, it's a book. I'm not going to read it. I don't want to read how am I going to get closer to the Lord? Because I don't like to read. Well, now he's so transformed her. Like, she's ordering books off of Amazon. She's bringing me books. She's like devouring them in a week and stuff. But God just totally changed her heart. She just said, God, you have to do something. I don't like to read. Please do something. And he changed her heart. The other thing is, I would say to her, you need to, you know, to invest time alone with the Lord. Get up early in the morning. Mom, I cannot get up early. You know, it's like I roll out of bed and I go to work. I roll out of bed and I go to work. Well, now sometimes she beats me to the punch. Like, I'll get up in the morning and she's already up. God changed her heart. So just, if it's really a struggle for you, just say to him, Lord, you need to do something about this. Change my heart so that I can do this. You know, show me where I can find time in my schedule to be able to invest time with you. I really want to say invest, not spend. So this is where I'm going to step on some toes probably, but I'm shoeless. So. Eliminating distractions. This is a huge thing in our lives. We are constantly being pulled on to look and for a lot of things to do. The definition of a distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something or someone else. The cause of distractions are the lack of ability to pay attention, the lack of interest in the object of attention, the great intensity or attractiveness of something other than the object of attention. And so I really believe we're entering a season where the Lord is really asking us to kind of take our lives and put them before him and ask him, you know, what does he want in there and what does he want out? Very early in my walk with the Lord, he gave me a picture and he said, Melissa, I always want you to come before me with an open hand. In other words, this is my life. And he has total permission to put anything in there and take anything out, right? There can't be anything that I'm holding on to more than him, right? And if he asks me to remove something, and I've watched this happen so many times where there's things that were in my life. For example, when Kendall and Joella were first coming out to North Carolina, they were going to start Charis Bible College Raleigh. And they had come to us and asked if I would be the administrator for the Bible college. And so Randy and I didn't know what God had called us to, and that was really exciting. So we kind of said, yeah, we'll do that. Well, they came out here to Raleigh, and they didn't, and things didn't work out, and it ended up that Tommy and Kleist came out and they started Charis Bible College Raleigh. So, but Kendall and Joella called at one point and said, listen, I'm not sure this is going to work out and, you know, we're not going to need an administrator, so we're going to have to kind of back out of, you know, us asking you to be the administrator for us. And the Lord said to me immediately, he said, drop it. And so I just said, listen, it's no problem. It's no problem. You guys start the school. You do what you need to do. It's not a problem for me. We bless you. We love you. Just do what God's called you to. Like I said, things didn't work out for them. Tommy and Kleist came in. And after a year of school, Tommy and Kleist come to us and say, would you teach at the school? So we let go of, instead of holding on to something that had been given to us supposedly, we let go of it. And then Tommy and Kleist come and say, well, would you teach at the school? And Kevin and Susie can attest to this, like, we've got the best job. Because we get to teach at the school, but they have to take care of all the headaches. Like, you know what I'm saying? So So that's what I'm saying. Like, don't hold on to things. Like, let give it to God and let him bring it back to you in the form he wants to, because he has so much better things. Because we weren't called to run the Bible college. They were called. Susie took Tommy and Clyde's place. They're called to run the Bible college. So it's so important that we not attach ourselves anything, and then we also let go of distractions in our lives. For, you know, you need to look the people that you have in your life. Are they the people the Lord wants there? Right? Because we can get very caught up in dramas and relationships and things going on, and, you know, if it's not the Lord, it's just a way for the enemy to create a distraction for you and keep you engaged and keep you not focusing on him. And we're supposed to have relationships. We're supposed to be out in the world. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, if you're investing a lot of time in a relationship that's draining on you and is not lifting you up and feeding you or allowing you to minister to somebody that is valuing what you're putting in their life. Because you can sow a lot into somebody and it's just the enemy, and they become like a pit that you're just sowing and sowing and sowing, but they're not willing to do anything themselves. You know, it's like playing a chess game, like, okay, or checkers. Like, I've made a move, now you need to make a move. And if you don't make a move, I'm not doing nothing, right? So yeah, because otherwise you'll just fill up all these empty pits, and it's just a way of feeling like you're doing something good, but you're not. You're just being distracted. So we have to be very selective about what we're doing. You know, if you look at the internet, if we look at movies that we watch, you know, television. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we don't watch television. I haven't watched television for years. I mean, once in a while, we'll have to watch a Browns game for Randy's sake. But one of these days... One of these days, they'll learn how to play football. But anyway, lift the curse off the Browns, break that curse. But you know, I mean, really, if we spend endless hours in front of the television, what is that sowing into our hearts? Right? If you only have so many hours in a day, we have to be intentional. And not that we have to, we can choose to be intentional about where are those hours going to be invested? Who are those hours going to be invested in? You know, I'm going to step on a lot of toes. So social media. I mean, man, I know. Can you feel it? Social media, I mean, people spend endless hours on Facebook. That is pulling your attention. That is pulling you away from the Lord and hearing his voice. And is it really, I mean, there's social media is good in some ways. You can speak about the Lord. You can promote the Lord. You can be connected with people you wouldn't normally be connected with. I'm not against it. But I'm just saying there's people who spend hours in front of that. Like, that is not a good investment of our time. That's not a good investment of our resources. And we need to take a look at that. Serving can become a distraction. There's people who can serve endless hours in a church and use that as that's my relationship with the Lord. That is not your relationship with the Lord. You know, it's like what I've said, like when I get up in the morning and I spend time with the Lord, it is not looking for a sermon for Sunday. It's not looking for vision and direction for the church. It's not any of that stuff. Now, it doesn't mean that he might not give me an impression during that time, but that is not my purpose. My purpose is just to have my own personal relationship with him and growing in that, because if I don't do that, I am worthless to everybody else. Right? So I go to spend time with him. When we looked even at like the Freedom and Hope Center that we did for the ministry we did for the homeless, you know, it was something like we had to take a look at it and say, there's only so many hours in a day, there's only so many days in a week. Where are we going to spend our time? Where are we going to invest our time? And when we looked at that and we looked at all the ministry we were doing for the homeless, and yet we looked at the fruit that was coming from it, we weren't seeing a lot of fruit. You know, we saw some fruit, we saw some people, but it wasn't a lot of fruit for the amount of hours we were putting in it. And there's other people who do that. And this is what I think the Lord's really asking all of us, is to really take a look at our lives. Where is our time and energy being invested? And really kind of clean things out to position ourselves for what he's called us to. And I, like I said, I feel like he's getting us ready for 2020. Like, this is a season where we can really take, set our lives apart and really look at what it is we're, what it is we're investing our time in. Amy, there's this prophet, this woman prophet out of Australia that Amy's found, and she's got some really profound prophetic words, and we've been kind of following her. But she talks in here. She said, I had a vision and I saw the enemy plotting with his army different ways that he could distract the people of God, and some of the ways I saw surprised me. I saw the word busyness in big letters and I could hear his whispers. If we can keep them in the good but not God, they will burn out and be so weary that they will become ineffective. It was then the Lord's thundering voice surrounded me. The temptation in this new era is to move into busyness, but I am inviting my people to move only into my business. I felt the urgency of the season to be going about the Father's business. And he quoted Luke chapter 2, verse 49. She said, I heard Luke 2, 49 loudly in my spirit. He said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And so I think that this is really a rhema word for us to evaluate, you know, our hobbies, our interests, our time, all the things that we do, and really say, Lord, is this what you want me to do? And just stand before him with an open hand. And you know, he can take things. Sometimes he'll do kind of like an Isaac, right? He just wants to know, are you willing to put it on the altar? Right? I'll give it back to you, but are you willing to put it on the altar? Like, are you exalting that thing above me? And so it's just kind of like checking our hearts, saying, are there things in your life that you really, you say, God, I want everything, like anything. I've learned when you say that, you have to be careful, because you'll say, God, I'll do anything. And you're like, yeah, accept that. Like, I didn't think you were going to say that. But that's what he does. And again, he's a good guy, but he just is challenging our hearts. He's like, listen, I don't want you attached to anything but me. You know, I went away, it was May, I went on a retreat for 5 days. And I just, again, I went away with the Lord. I was by myself, just had my Bible and worship music. And I did have my phone on just in case there was an emergency and there was like one little situation I had to take care of. But other than that, I just wasn't on email. I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't on anything. I just was alone with him. And again, it wasn't for any other purpose than my own personal relationship with him. When I came home and just got back into the day-to-day stuff, and our church, because our church is on Facebook, like I need to check Facebook to see if anyone's posted anything, asked the questions. And I almost wanted to cry when I needed to go back on Facebook again. It was like there was this grieving inside of me because it's just this pulling. And then Amy and I went to the gym. And I get into the gym, we go on the treadmill, she's going to make me healthy, it's the end of her. So we're on the treadmill, and all the TVs are up. And it was like, it hurt. It was like this assault on me. And I just had to look down and just walk on the treadmill, because it just is pulling our attention. And I really believe that we don't realize how much the distractions we are involved in grieve the Spirit of God inside of us. And it's not until we pull away and we get quiet and we learn what that's like that we get sensitive enough to the Spirit to realize that that stuff is really grieving him. He's not angry with us. It's just he wants deeper levels of intimacy with us. He wants greater us to be great, more sensitive to his Spirit. And when we're being bombarded and we're engaging in all these things, it's distracting us from his presence. And so he's asking us to really sit with him and give him permission to prioritize our lives, reorganize our lives, and set priorities because he's a good God, and he's got things for us. And we're the ones who stop him because we're so busy. You know, our phones, my gracious, you know, when we don't have our phones, it feels like someone's cut our hands off. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh, like, how do I function? Claudia, I can attest to this. The other day she came to church and she forgot her phone. She's like, I don't have my phone. I don't have my phone. Like, we feel like we can't breathe, you know? There's something, I mean, it's for everyone. I mean, I feel the same way. I'm not judging that, but I'm just saying there's something wrong if we're that attached to it. Right? That we just, when we used to go out of the house all the time and not get our messages till we walked back in the door, right? You were out of touch for 4 hours or whatever it was. And now, you know, if we can't text right away, we have anxiety attacks. Like, there's something wrong. You know what I'm saying? There's something wrong. And so just try putting your phone down and leaving it for 2 hours and see how you do. If you start sweating, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Like, we should be so attached to God that if we don't think about him in 2 hours, we start sweating. Right? That's what he wants. That's what he's called us to. He wants us to hear his voice. And if we're not hearing his voice and we're not sensitive and to that fact, then we've desensitized ourselves. And again, there's no condemnation. It's just him calling us into deeper levels and deeper levels with him. So I would encourage you, just in the weeks to come, before we go into January of 2020, to really look at your life and ask the Lord, what do you want my life to look like? Where do you want me to invest my time? What are the priorities that you have for my life? Why? Because I know you have good plans for me, and I don't want to be the one that undermines them. I don't want to be so distracted with other things that I can't follow your voice and know what you have for me. And I really felt, when I was meditating on this for you two, I really felt the Lord so strongly that, you know, Victoria has stepped down from her position to stay home and be a mom. And financially, that doesn't look like a smart thing to do, but I really believe this is what you're doing, is you're simplifying your life. You're getting rid of a distraction, because it's hard for when two people work. And I believe the Lord is going to honor you guys so much in doing that. And there is, you guys walk in that, and he is going to bless that, and he will provide for you and take care of you, because you are honoring him by honoring your family. And that's what he values more than anything. And so I just really feel strongly that he is going to really take care of you guys, and he really is proud of you. He's very proud of you. Amen. So the other thing about this is, the number one way we hear from the Lord is through the Word of God. And so that has to be our absolute foundation, right? We need to know the Word, we need to study the Word, we need to read the Word, meditate on the Word, all of that. But that's not the only way God speaks. And so I feel like we're coming to a season also where the Lord wants to open up our eyes to allow him to speak to us in greater ways. One of the ways is and we can see it in Jesus' life, is he speaks to us just through like nature and life itself, right? Jesus was always using parables, and he was always communicating to us God's voice through looking at how people plow fields and grow corn, right? He was able to see natural processes in the earth and use it as a spiritual picture, right? And God hasn't stopped speaking that way. He has not stopped speaking that way. So if we're not distracted with worldly things, it means we can go for a drive in our car, we can look at the environment around us, and God can speak to us through the falling leaves on a tree. Like, I was just meditating on this and just thinking about the season of fall and the leaves falling. And I said, Lord, what would you like to say to me about the leaves falling off the trees? He says, well, that's just a picture of you letting things go. Right? Letting things in your life that no longer are part of it, to let them go and let them fall. And then there'll be a season that will seem like there's nothing happening, but instead, underneath there's roots that are growing. And then you'll see in the spring that new life will come. So me just sitting and looking out the window at some trees where there's leaves falling and asking the question, Lord, what do you want to say to me through this? He spoke to me, right? So we can start going through our daily lives and just looking at what's happening in our life. And if instead of being distracted and pulled out by it, we look at it and say, Lord, what do you want to say to me through that? He can speak to us. And that starts tuning us into our day-to-day life, just being attuned all the time, saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? Lord, what are you speaking to me? Lord, what are you trying to communicate? Randy and I were driving down a road the other day, and we came to a traffic circle, and I was just practicing this, and there was a sign for the traffic circle and had three arrows showing that there was a traffic circle coming. And it was just so cute because I was thinking about the Lord, and I'm like, oh, look at his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're just moving around in a circle with each other, you know? And so just instead of being mindless and letting my mind think about what about this, what about this, and what are we going to do about this, I was just meditating on the Lord, and he uses a traffic sign to say, hey, here I am. Right? So we can change our mindsets to not be so caught up in what all the stuff that we think of. Oh, there you are, Claudia. I was looking where you were. There you are. You have your phone today? Anyway, so just because our minds usually are racing about taking care of this, and what about this? I mean, at least that's my mind anyway. But when you just stop it and say, Lord, I'm going to just be looking for you in the simple little things of my day, he can speak. It's beginning to operate kind of more in the prophetic, right? Because that's, I mean, he likes to give me pictures, but it's just tuning ourselves into him. He can give us dreams and visions. He can speak through symbols, and even like nature, like if you start seeing butterflies a lot, like if you're paying attention, if he knows you're paying attention, he will communicate to you. But he needs to know that you're looking. And so once he sees you're looking, then all of a sudden, like, oh, you're like, wow, you know, the past couple of days I've seen a lot of butterflies. What's the Lord saying to me? Oh, well, he's talking about transformation, that he's taking us from being a cocoon, right? Metamorpho, that word is used when Jesus kind of opens up his earth suit, and it's also Romans 12, 1 and 2 about the transformation of our minds, right? And so he's speaking. You can use clocks. I wake up in the morning, and there's times when I wake up in the morning, and I'll look at the clock, and I'll know the Lord is saying to me, look up a scripture. And so when I'll go, Amy has that YouVersion Bible. I have it on my phone. You can use a phone for some things. I put in like 4:20, 4:20, because I woke up 4:20 in the morning. And what it, Proverbs 4:20 comes up. There's a whole bunch, and you can just scroll through the scriptures that have a chapter 4, verse 20, and just see what the Holy Spirit highlights to you. And that's a way of the Lord speaking to you. He can do that through the clock. You know, whenever I see John 10:10, I always think that this is the Lord telling me, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So there's different times you can, if you're looking at time and you keep seeing this, you tend to see the same time all the time. Like if you're always looking at it at a certain time and not intentionally, but kind of by accident, that's the Lord trying to communicate to you. Look into scripture. If he knows you're looking, if he knows you're watching, he will get through to you in a variety of ways. He just needs us to be participating. He's not, like I said, absolutely, this has to be the foundation of everything we do, but we can't limit him to this because he speaks in a multitude of ways. And the way, when we're open to getting a message from him in more than just one way, he will get it to us. And then life becomes exciting, right? Because you go out today and you're like, okay, Lord, what are you going to communicate to me? And all of a sudden you're looking at with spiritual eyes, and your ears open, and you're expecting to hear from him. He can talk to you through music, through songs. Children can speak to you and give you a profound word from the Lord. It's amazing. I can remember a movie that I saw, again, these years ago. It was a group of friends at Bible college. We got together and watched the movie Taken. Did anyone see that word, movie Taken, with Liam Neeson? And I normally would not watch that movie, but the ladies wanted to do this, and so we watched the movie together. And it's all about this young girl. She's, I don't know, she graduated from high school or first year in college, whatever. And her parents are divorced. Her father is like this high-level agent, like FBI, CIA, espionage type of guy, right? Liam Neeson. And her mother had divorced and remarried and was living in California, and they were very wealthy. And so when the daughter was time, they wanted to give her a gift. So they gave her a gift. Her and her friends sent them to Europe by themselves. Well, within 24 hours, the two of them were abducted, you know, for sex trafficking. And Liam Neeson hears his daughter has been abducted, and he goes into full assault dad mode. I'm going to go capture her. So the whole movie is him trying to get her. And he, like, jumps on top of trains, out of windows. He, you know, goes, he's dodging bullets and all this stuff. And so he goes for this whole big thing. He finally gets his daughter in the last hour. He rescues her, takes her home. He's in California with her. And her mother's standing there, and the stepdad and the girl, and they're like, thank you so much for what you did. Thank you so much. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she has no idea what her father went through for her. And the Lord spoke to me. He says, and you have no idea what I went through for you. And it just was like, oh my gosh, like we have no idea what he went through on the cross. We have no idea what he went through 3 days in hell. We have no idea the sacrifice he made to rescue us from the enemy. That was such a picture of God finding out that the children had been abducted and everything he went through to get the children back. So what I'm saying is even a carnal movie, again, not that we parade that stuff in front of us, but even a carnal movie, God can speak through. Our grandson loves Spider-Man, and we watched a movie a couple of weeks ago of Spider-Man, and it was, this guy was creating a hologram of disaster and then coming in to save everybody, and then everyone was like, oh my gosh, look at, he's wonderful, right? Because they don't realize it's a hologram, and they think he's wonderful. And so he comes in to rescue the day. And so Spider-Man actually gives him these special glasses that he has. He gives them to this guy. Then he realizes this guy is deceiving everybody. And it was so cool because he's like, okay, he figures out it's all a hologram, that he's really evil. And so now he has to go get the glasses back. And so he goes into this situation and he's like, okay, I just need to remember that it's not real. I mean, if that isn't the kingdom of God, right? Against the enemy, like you have to remember that it's not real. And so he goes and he the whole disaster is unfolding, but it's not real and he knows it. And he busts through everything and he gets in the center of it and there's all these drones that are projecting the hologram. And he, of course, does his spiderwebby thing and takes them and destroys them all. And the whole thing comes crumbling down. But I thought to myself, what a picture that is of us in our walk with the Lord, in that we have truth, like, reality, the kingdom of God, but the enemy is always trying to come and bring deception on us, and we have to know enough of the word of God to be able to decipher his lies and not buy into it and walk through that thing to the truth and reality. So, but again, not for us to watch a ton of movies, but God can use things to speak to us. If we have ears to hear, if we have our ears open, he can speak to us. So I feel like he wants us to really start opening ourselves up to allowing him to speak to us in different ways. You know, yes, absolutely, through the word is absolutely critical. That has to be our foundation. But begin to have eyes to look when you walk out the door, when you're outside, when you're in your day-to-day life, when you see the clock. If certain numbers keep showing up, you need to know that that can be God communicating to this. I believe this is what Jesus was doing all the time. He when he walked out in the world, he was seeing the natural world, but he had a spiritual perspective on all of it. And the world was always communicating God to him. It was always speaking God. And the parts of the enemy, he understood the enemy stuff, right? But he always was seeing nature through that. He was seeing everything through the eyes of his spiritual eyes. He had eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand what God was speaking to him, even through the environment that he walked around in. And so we can do that as well. I feel like the Lord wants to heighten our senses, our hearing, and our eyes to not limit him to just one way of communicating with us, but to allow it to have a greater, give him a greater sphere of influence in our lives. But again, to also decide, why do I want to spend time with the Lord? Why is this a priority for me? So you really get clear about that. To eliminate distractions, sit down and ask him, Lord, what do you want in my life? What don't you want in my life? Don't be attached to anything. Let him remove the things. Simplify your life. You know, life shouldn't be complicated. Simplify. If there's things in your life that you don't need to be doing and it's not God, even though it's good, it's not God, let it go. Let it go, because I promise anything you let go of on behalf of him, you will never regret. You will never regret, ever. Because what he will give you in place of that will be so much greater than what you left go of. And so it's really allowing him to do that. And the other thing I would just say too is really something that our family has done is really sat down to decide, you know, what is the culture that we want in our home? What do we want to live by? And we came up with this, our family values. Like, we want to be present-centered in our family. We want that family and relationships are important to us. Honor, authenticity, integrity, love, and that we all stay teachable and humble. And so this is something that each of us have in our little rooms or whatever, Randy and Amy and I, as far as this is what our family values are. This is the way we want to be known. This is the life we want to live. And I would encourage you to do the same. Like, really, it's just really taking stock of your intentional. What's important? What do you want like, we just gave a testimony. We did Henry's, you know, celebration service yesterday. What do you want to be said about you at the end of your life? What do you want to be known for? What really are your values? Are we living our values? Are we living what we say we believe? Because the way we live speaks so much greater than our words. And so, are we living what we believe? Because that's what Jesus lived, what he would believe, right? He lived what he believed, and he was willing to die for what he believed. And we have that same spirit inside of us. And so just taking stock of our lives, investing time with him, eliminating distractions, deciding what are our priorities, and then being willing to see him in greater ways. And the word's the foundation, but allow the word to come alive in the environment in which you live in, and let him speak to you through different things. Amen? Amen. So Lord, I just thank you so much for simplifying things for us, Lord. I just pray that everyone here just come before you and just really lay their life and say, Lord, you author my life. You decide what's important, what's not important. Help me to prioritize things the way you want them to be. Lord, thank you that you've given me a life that will always allow me to set time aside with you, to invest in you. So Lord, show me where that time is. Show me what I need to change in my life to be able to do this. And thank you, Lord, that give me eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to understand, even outside of just my quiet time with you, that I'm always so sensitive to you, Lord, that we are always so sensitive to you, that we can see you in the trees, we can see you in nature, we can see you in the midst of circumstances, we can see you in all kinds of ways, Lord. Just give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and heart to understand in deeper ways. Lord, we just thank you so much for who you are, all that you are in our lives, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.